Hey there, friends. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you're having an amazing day, or maybe you just woke up, and if so, good morning. Hope you're all doing phenomenal today. And thanks for tuning into this episode of the Eric Chow Empowers podcast. This episode features my good friend Mike. He's a fellow podcast host of his own show, Tea with Mike. And in this episode, I'm asking him to share his story. As someone who shares other people's stories all the time on his own show, I thought it'd be cool to hear about him and his journey of starting and growing his own project, which is his show. But also, having talked to and interviewed so many different people from so many different backgrounds with his show, Mike has learned some very powerful lessons about people, human interaction, and connecting with others. Let's face it, sometimes we run into people who aren't exactly the most pleasant to interact with. Or how often are we so caught up in our own lives that we forget to look at the people around us? We all seek connection. Introverts, extroverts, everyone in between, and certainly everything with COVID-19 has helped many people realize that. And I do believe that if you can capture Mike's perspective in this episode, your perspective on the world will become much more optimistic and your ability to connect with others will increase. Enjoy the episode. What's going on, everybody? This is episode 43 of the Eric Chow Empowers podcast. I'm your host, Eric Chow, and today we're joined by, I don't know, do I use your Tea with Mike or do I use Michael Johnson? Like, what do I?
Just go with the flow. Just
yeah, I think so. I think in the title, I'll probably use Tea with Mike just because.
This is Mike, aka Tea with Mike.
There we go. Yeah, I think that's what we'll do.
I'll take two.
Well, Mike, welcome to the show. Why don't you introduce yourself, tell the audience a little bit about you.
Cool. First, thanks for having me, Matt. Much appreciated. I'm Michael Johnson. I'm originally from England. I really love sports and the theatre. I grew up in Northern England, in the rain, with the fish and chips, etc., etc. With lots of cups of tea in between. Moved to Canada when I was 17 years old. And it's been an interesting journey, kind of through multiple different education routes and really trying to discover what makes me happy, what do I want to do with the rest of my life, what do I value, who do I want to spend time with both in terms of friends and also family. And then, yeah, and like I said, I have my own podcast, just like this podcast that I'm fortunate enough to be appearing on. So, and I guess a little fun fact about me is I was once on a school trip to the grocery store, and I accidentally set off the fire alarm, and the store was evacuated because this was a new store and it was still kind of like, it was still new to all the, I guess, the emergency procedures.
So did you like press the button and just set off the fire alarm?
No, we just come out of getting to see how they made the donuts and how they pressed the donuts. I don't know why we ever went on this school trip / field trip if you're in North America. And we were lined up in the kind of the back hallway, and I was at the back of the line. And I don't know if this is really what happened, but the way I tell the story is my friend like pushed me, and then I kind of stumbled backwards because I don't have very good balance. And I knocked the fire exit door and it set up all the alarms.
That's amazing. I think that was just, I did this one science experiment in my house once, me and my dad, we were doing like colored fire because you can add like different chemicals and stuff to make different colors. So we were doing like green and purple and like some all kinds of whack colors, right? And, you know, I'm a fifth grade
kid, so I'm really excited, and I just want to make the flames bigger, because I'm like, no, this is too tiny, this is too tiny. So my dad gave in. I think I pestered him too much, so we ended up making some pretty big flames and setting off the fire alarm in our house, like, because I'm doing this inside the house.
Oh, one of outside.
I
Nobody's
have
planning.
no, because we were gonna do like smaller flames. But
Fair.
I pestered my dad too much, and I was like, let's go bigger, let's go bigger. Or maybe like
Or
he
go
turned his
home.
back and I added more chemicals. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know. Somehow we ended up making bigger flames, set off the fire alarm. Nothing got burned down or anything, so we
That's
were
good.
good.
Otherwise,
But
we
like,
would have all been.
we put out the flame, and then my dad's like running around the house trying to like turn off the alarm, open all the windows and stuff to get the air out, smoke out. And I'm just like sitting there laughing my ass off.
Do you have a video from the experience or?
Nah, dude, that was like grade five, dude. Nobody,
Oh.
we're too busy panicking and laughing to pull out our phones or anything like that. God, I didn't even have a phone or anything, so it was a good time though. So, like Mike said, to just talking to the listeners, he has his own show. I was fortunate enough a few months ago to be on his show, actually. So definitely 10 out of 10 recommend go checking his show out too with Mike.com or a bunch of other platforms. Maybe I'll link like my episode in the episode description or something like that.
Let me
And
know.
I'll
That's
link your,
crazy.
yeah, I'll
Whoa.
link your website and all that good stuff. One of the things you and I like to do, actually, I noticed, is like we like to brainstorm about different ideas for how to like move our podcasts forward and stuff. So that's always been interesting, because most people, we don't get to talk about that with most people, right?
No, it's a really good way to kind of like help each other, and it's always nice to get an outside perspective of kind of like someone that you like, I guess, trust more, because we've slowly built our online friendship.
It'll be
Like,
so cool when we get to hang out in person one day, dude.
post-COVID, yes. Yeah, so no, so it's really nice just to brainstorm different ideas with people that are doing the same thing, so they understand all of the hard work that goes into the creation and research of guests and getting guests on the show and the editing and the promotion of an episode, etc. So I'll say it on there. I do really value your input and opinion, because we each have some of the same interests.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's why we talk to each other about this stuff. So what made you decide to start your show?
Sure, that's a good one. So I spent a lot of time in my like places of employment around people, because I worked in the entertainment industry, worked in security and retail environments and in live entertainment also. So, and I also worked in a tickets office, selling tickets to events. So through my employment, I've interacted definitely with like thousands and thousands of people. And what struck me having all these like interactions with people is the vast majority of the people that you interact with, especially in a setting like the ticket office or security more than the live entertainment portion, where people are excited to come to the concert and stuff, is people have really like disconnected with society, that they're so distracted by the piece of technology that they have in front of them. And the majority of the people, obviously not everyone, but I think the majority of the people, especially younger people, that they'd rather watch a cat video on their phone than actually engage and have that conversation with those people around them. And I know how our planet started, and knowledge was passed through people telling stories, etc., from generation. You're now almost seen as a little bit strange and a little bit nutty if you try and engage with the vast majority of people that you don't know, like you're having that, trying to have that first conversation with them. So that is some of the reasoning behind why I started the show. And then also it, the other part was I started it because I needed something to do for a college project. And I didn't want to write another essay or the same thing I'd be doing all semester. I needed to freshen it up.
I feel like that's how the story of a lot of great things happen. Like, there's always like one reason that's just like, dude, I just needed to do this. Like, I don't know, man, this just happened. For you, it's like, I needed a college project. For me, I literally woke up one morning and went, fuck it, let's do it. So I'm not even joking about that. Like, I literally did that. That's how the intro episode came to be. But then there's a very much a thought behind it, like some sort of message or inspiration. And I can definitely see that in your show, like how that story has come into play. But for those who haven't listened to your show before, with that context, what is the sort of theme or message of your show as a whole?
Sure. So every single episode, there's a different guest, basically telling their story. So the theme of the show is all about keeping alive storytelling and conversation. And then the show, I think, has evolved over time into almost like its own platform. And because I really want to give people the opportunity, especially with how mainstream media is just talking about negative stuff, like 99% of the time these days, they're covering the presidential elections in the US. It's all about COVID. It's all about all those types of topics, et cetera, et cetera. You get the idea. And so I think I'm trying to create that almost like a brand new form of media as a kind of platform for people to step forward and to actually share the good that they're doing, like in the world. It's almost like an extension in some ways of the idea behind Humans of New York. It's got a little bit of that element, but obviously in a little bit more of like a long format. So that's in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why you and I like click so well together. Because even though I think our motivations, I suppose, for starting were different, you wanting to kind of have that connection, right? Which isn't really what I was trying to do, but I kind of ended up doing.
And what were you trying to do when you kind of first set off on your podcasting journey?
I would say authentic expression. I felt that people were too limited, or they felt limited, or they were too careful of what they say or what they could share, or they felt like they couldn't share so much. And just having a podcast felt like a free platform. Just to, hey, this is, I'm going to share anything. Whoever wants to come on can share whatever. And for me, it was all about empowering, sharing those stories in order to empower somebody else. And that, of course, leads to meaningful connection, because authentic expression leads to connection, just as you're doing it kind of the other way. In pursuit of connection, you need authenticity, right? And I think that even though like we're coming at it from two different angles, one of the reasons why we click so well so quickly, especially in our friendship, was because in the end, like, we're both kind of doing very similar things in terms of, hey, can we bring people together? Can we create like some dope conversations? Can we share some dope stories and have some fun and create a platform and a community for exactly all those reasons, right? So let's see. With all the conversations and stories that you've had, what have you learned about people?
That it's becoming more apparent that everybody as a human being that's doing good in different ways in their particular environments, and even people that you think have achieved a lot, like they're running their own business, they've been on television. At least all the people I've interviewed so far, they're actually, when you speak to them in a one-on-one setting, and I'm sure this reflects in everything they do, they're actually just human beings at the end of the day. Like, everybody came to the planet, albeit in different circumstances, but everybody, I guess, has a voice. I think that's what I'm trying to get at. And everybody is so similar. Like, we're all human beings. We all function, and we all have a voice. So we already have a lot of similarities, right? I guess that's what I'm trying to drive at.
That makes a lot of sense to me, and I think you're nailing it, dude, 'cause
It doesn't matter where we're from, like
yeah.
how we got there. It's kind of like how we move forward and how humans on the base level can all help each other regardless of past achievement. There you go. Those are the words I was looking for.
There you go, dude. That's what brilliant right there, and that's
See you later, everyone.
the
Gotta make
show, everybody.
more
Mike, thanks for
cheese.
being on. And that's episode. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, so many different things that come to mind for me, right? One of them is when you look at like celebrities or like big figures, like you're like, oh my God, this guy's been on TV, dude. Whoa, you know, or like this person's like big shot in some way.
Right.
And I think we sometimes we like idolize them and we're like, dang, this person's so cool. But when you get to know them, like just like anybody else, they're regular people. I like to think of it as regular people who do amazing things.
That was a really good way of putting
Yeah.
it.
That's how I kind of like to think about it. And I think to me that one, it puts it into perspective. Like you're like, oh, this is just a regular ass human being who has done some awesome things. Like that's really cool to me. That's exciting. But then it gives me kind of a sense of hope. Like, you know, sometimes you see like that little really young person who's like done some really crazy stuff, and you're like, damn, this person's killing it, and I'm like, what am I doing? But you realize like, no, they're just a regular human being who have done some amazing things, and you're like, oh, they're a regular person. If they're a regular person doing some amazing things, then I'm a regular person and I can also do amazing things.
Very true.
And I
You
think that, yeah.
sometimes you have to take a pause, like when you feel like things are not going very well, and you don't feel like you're making much progress, because we all have those times when we need to recharge or we lack motivation. I think it's really important to, not always, because you need to keep pushing forward, but sometimes self-reflect and think, oh wow, these are all the great things that I've achieved this month or this year. I know something new that I started in 2020, which is a really good year to start with world circumstances, is I'm keeping a list of all things that I've achieved so far this year. Some of them are small things, some of them are big things, but then when I have those moments where I'm like, why am I doing this? I look back at the list and it's like, oh, I'm doing it because of, and this is And this method helped me do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc.
That's a great idea. I should do that. What
Doesn't need to be
the
complicated. Just write out what you achieved, and that's
Yeah,
good
what I'm
enough.
proud of. Yeah, no, I love that. No, I love that. So that's a pro tip for all the listeners there. 'Cause like I know for me, like whenever I'm like feeling down or like I have my share of doubts, right? I have my own kind of a few strategies, but I really like that one. For me, I'm usually like picking up a good book that I know will like fire me up, or I'm listening to a podcast or an audio of some kind, or I'm going to go ahead and talk to somebody who I know is just going to raise me up.
That's a big one. That one.
Yeah.
It's talking, it's not talking to 50, 60 different people, but finding those four or five people that you can talk to at different moments around everything else that's going on in that person and your person's life, and having that conversation, which almost acts kind of as that recharge and that boost, and you come away from that conversation feeling empowered.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I like what you said. Like, it doesn't need to be like so many people. You just need like a handful, and that's it. That's all you need.
It's more meaningful.
I agree. I agree. Like, I'm not gonna. There aren't that many people I'm gonna huddle about podcasting with. You know, like I'm gonna be honest. I'd probably say you're my go-to. If I need a question about podcasting, I'm probably going to you. Like, I don't. I mean, there are a few other people that you know as well that I could also go to, but like you and me, this is what that's what we do. Like, probably like half our calls are like that.
Right, because it's the common theme, it's the common interest, right? And it's a lot easier to have conversations specifically about something that both parties are interested in. Sometimes those random conversations, oh, look, what's the weather like today where you are? Doesn't hold the same substance.
Yeah. And then the other thing I was thinking about when you were sharing about realizing that everybody's just a human, just a regular person, I was thinking about and I know I said this to some people a long time ago, but and it doesn't really work right now, but before when we were like going out and walking around or driving around, like out in the world, right? Before pandemic, I think that we see so many people, but we think, oh, these are like whatever. You just kind of don't think nothing of it. Like you said, like you're too busy focused on your phone or you're thinking about the things that are going on in your life. You're what's like very self-centered, which is not a problem. We have things to do. I get it. Cool. We have a life, right? But I remember I like to sometimes remind myself, like, yo, this person I'm looking at right now has an equally complicated story as I do, if not more complicated. And then I'm like, okay, well, if this person has an equally complicated story, that means, I mean, I ain't perfect, but I think I'm cool. I have a high enough self-image to think I'm all right. You know, I'm not claiming I'm amazing or anything, but I'm like, I'm all right, you know.
That's
So if
good.
I'm all
You
right, that
feel
means this
all right
person must
there.
be all right, you know, or if we're both all right, then we can have, you know, that's cool. And one to me that like that makes me feel a little more energized because I'm like, hey man, I'm about to talk to a cool person, or maybe I'm not even gonna talk to them. I'm just like, yo, hope that person has a nice day, because I want to have a nice day too, right? You know, like I think it just brings a little bit more of that optimistic energy, but also, you know, sometimes you see somebody who's not having a great day, and so they might be a little mean or a little rude, and you're like, you know what? Like, that person's probably got something going on. Like, I wish them well.
A great example of kind of going back to that theme of disconnection is in the retail environments or at your local coffee shop, the amount of people that are on the technology when they're being served by another human being, or they're quite aggressive or rude or short with the particular person serving them that actually hasn't done anything wrong to that particular person. They're just trying to do make their livelihoods, right? So what I do when I'm in those environments is I'm never on my phone. I'm always super positive and optimistic. But besides all of that, even if you everybody most people that work have name tags, even greeting them by their actual name like goes such a long way, and people have stopped doing that, right? Because they're so focused on that Starbucks drink with that whipped cream and the six espresso shots and the point 0.25 percentage of milk, right? When those are really at the end of the day very small things, and they're doing the thing that everybody should be doing. They should be treating other human beings decently.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I'm trying to formulate the next question. I'm sure this happens to you. Like when you're like trying to formulate and then just like slips.
Once in a while.
Yeah, every once in a while it happens. Wait, you know what? Let me diverge from this conversation a little bit. When you don't know what to ask when you're interviewing someone on your show, like when you like either you don't know what to ask or you had an idea and then it just like goes away. What are your strategies? Like this is completely selfish, so I can improve my show.
That's good. So there's a couple of different things. So for the Tea with Mike show, I have actually already like done the research on the guest, and because the show's like so long, and I want to make sure people get value, they tune in or they watch or etc. The questions are pre-planned, right? Because and probably 2 to 3 hours goes into the research of any one Mike show. And it's only pre-planned for the simple reason of trying to highlight the best of the guests whilst providing value to the audience. And so then on the flip side, because that doesn't really help you at all, when I do social media lives, I've done them like so many times, I almost have template questions in the back of my head that if things are going on the wrong tangent or stuff, then I can ask those. The easier part about social media lives, hopefully, if the audience is engaged, they steer the conversation, right?
Ask questions. Yeah.
Because they ask questions, and then you're like, oh, big shout out to John. John wants to know this Brandon or who Eric or whoever you're speaking to, so it's
Shout out to our mutual friend Leia.
oh, you want to know something great? We're going live on Facebook this evening.
Oh shit. What time?
7:30. Welcome to join us.
7:30. That's 6:30 for me. Okay, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah,
Anyway, that's a side note.
that's a side note for us. I wonder if I should leave that in the episode. Sometimes I like to leave random things in there and then not delete them. I'm like, I don't know, whatever. It's like a little funny moment. No, that's great. I agree with you. I think like having some random like questions off the top of my head or random like guiding ideas to kind of steer it if I don't really know what to say is definitely huge.
But also there's a balance between too scripted, and because conversation is supernatural, as we're clearly demonstrating here, we're just going with the flow, right?
Absolutely. I mean that's how you make it. I think you said it earlier, right? The scripting or having those pre-planned questions is just so you can bring the best or do what you can to bring the best. But then you kind of just go with the flow and see what happens.
Exactly. You have to move
And
questions around.
yeah, exactly.
Skip
Exactly.
questions if it's too close to what they just said.
Yeah.
Because everyone's different, right? There's some people that are very short, very concise, and then there's other people that you need to pull back in a rope because you could spend like an hour per question, right? So
I don't know
especially.
about you. I have like people going off in the back of my head, like, that's that guy. I love those people though. It's okay. But it's like a funny moment for sure. Okay, so going back to like this connection thing. Obviously, you and me, we have shows that allow us to have a good conversation with somebody. I kind of think of it like in some ways the show is an excuse for us to have good conversation. That's how I kind of think about it. I don't know if you think of it like that, but I mean
No,
obviously
I
there's
do like people. I do like to get to know different people. So yes,
yeah
partially, that's valid.
yeah so obviously that works for us. So how do you what about for people who don't have like a show like you and me? How can they do something in their own lives that encourages connection?
It's a deep question. Well, I think there's the baseline, the most important thing is if you're putting anything out to the world, whether it's in podcast, video format, a piece of writing, any other form of medium that exists, you have to first do it because you have an interest in what you're creating or what you're writing about. And you should just do it, I guess, because it makes you happy. That's number one. And you have an interest in that particular thing. So I would encourage you to, whatever that may be, it could be anything. It doesn't even have to be in an online format because it can apply to other things in life. You might be a great artist and you might make some crazy cool diamond paintings, and then you just because you enjoy doing them, and then you put them on not even social media, but like Kijiji or eBay or Amazon. I'm not that familiar with e-commerce, and people might buy them. So I guess that doesn't always have to be a connection, I think, is what I'm trying to say. The underlying root of creation or having an interest or having a hobby is you do that particular thing because you enjoy it and it makes you happy. And then depending on what it is, sometimes you meet people with the same interests, whether that be online or in person, and then you start to build new friendships. Because if you really think about it, that's kind of how we sort of connected through other people that we'd met in the big like cycle or in the chain or however you want to like look at it. And then gradually over time we built that connection. So I think if you start with happiness and doing something, yeah, that you enjoy, and you forget about the format, and if it brings you into contact with lots of people or no people, then I think the connection and all the other positive things can follow suit.
Yeah, no, I really like that. And I like that my question was, how can you connect with people, basically? And you were like, yeah, so don't think about it. Don't think about connecting with people. Don't even try. you and I think you're right, right? It's focusing on happiness means that, and focusing on doing what you love and putting that out there means that the right people get attracted to you. And not by the right people, I don't mean like, oh, there's like good people, bad people, right people, wrong people. But it's more of the people that are right for you at the moment. So like you said, like our friendship is entirely based on the fact that we have a few mutual friends and we both really like podcasting. Like that's how we became friends. And of course, our friendship is like not just podcasting our friendship anymore. Obviously, we know a little bit about what's going on in each other's lives, but that's how it started. And I think you make it very simple because now someone who wants to connect with more people, following that advice is just, hey, I like I was gonna use tea, but that's your thing, man. By the way, everybody, tea with Mike, he really likes tea, just fun fact. Maybe you really like tech. Maybe you're really into tech. Tech is a common one. You can easily put one, you can put out contents about tech. You can talk about tech. Two, you can go find so many damn communities out there around tech. It's so easy. You can make so many good friends like that. You and me joined a community of creators, really. Creators. Like that's one of the reasons we connected. You can engage with communities and put yourself out there in situations where you're actually interested. And if you're actually interested in it and you're just focusing on like, hey, this seems cool, like you said, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to have it all planned out. Forget structure sometimes. That's what you need to do. And You should think about structure as you kind of go along, but like at the beginning, whatever, just go. And I think, yeah, you're right. You'll just find connection.
Exactly. And then you kind of touched on it, but like if you think you like something and then you start doing it, whatever that may be, and it doesn't work out, or you don't like it, kind of like keep tasting, like don't get disillusioned or disheartened. Just keep trying new things. Like you alluded to the fact me and you both joined a group full of content creators that, even though it had the best intentions for life circumstances and everyone, how busy everyone was, it didn't actually like plan out. But the takeaway is, number one, we tried. Show number two, it kind of disabandoned, but it wasn't all lost, because each person then has a choice for what they want to do, right? Like we could have easily might never spoken to each other again, for example. But I decided, I was like, who do I really resonate with in these groups, and who do I want to keep talking to after this? So I had that process in my head, and then to cut a long story short, I still talk to those people that I connected with the best.
Yeah, I mean, I know when I was talking to I'm just gonna shout out Mr. Isaac Mashman, the gentleman who I give credit to for connecting me and Mike.
Previous guest on Eric's podcast, and also
and
just you and
Mike's
Mike.
podcast. He was a two-time guest on your podcast, right?
Well, yeah, it's weird because it had a really like rocky like beginning. He came out super early. So yes, he's appeared twice in the different formats, but he's only on my website once, because I started when the quality was a little better. So, but yes, he has technically been on twice. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, cool. Maybe I have to have him on again. Just to match you. But yeah, I think I was talking to Isaac about it, and we were talking about like, okay, was this like what has come out of this group? Is it doesn't make sense? Because he was just kind of walking through his thought process with me as he was disbanding the group. And like you said, it wasn't about the group really. It was more of, yeah, all of us have our things to do. And it didn't really make sense to keep going, and that's fine. But what did we get out of it? Well, I think all of us still believe in the message. We still believe in the message of hustle. We still believe in the message of putting out great content. We still believe in the message of connecting with great people. We still believe in the message of growing ourselves in terms of our work, but also as people. We all believe in that. And by coming together for a little while, we were able to help each other do that. We were able to do quite a lot to support each other, I think. And most importantly, we were able to create
Definitely.
friendships. So I remember I was telling Isaac when he was telling me about it, I was like, man, not only do we have all that, but like it's not like I'm gonna stop talking to you. And it's not like I'm gonna stop talking to Mike. And it's not like I'm gonna stop talking to, all these other people. And that's the point is that we have those relationships. And when it comes right down to it, that was the point of the group. That's it.
And it was achieved in the sense of it was another step on all of our journeys to help strengthen those values and beliefs and perspectives.
Yeah. That kind of goes to sometimes when you have like those good connections with people. But then somehow they die out, or something happens, so, 'cause that definitely happens. Or maybe like it's a rare connection, like you just have like a really, really dope conversation with that one random person you see out there in your life, but then you never see them again, or maybe you see them rarely or something like that. But even those make a difference. Like I think even those can be pretty awesome. Because you just enjoy them for whatever time that you have with them, and then at the end of it, it's you gain from it just by having it for a little while.
And that's the most important thing, and it kind of links in with, if you keep tasting new things, like the more you do it, the more stuff you might find you want to pursue further, but also more importantly is kind of the lessons learned from trying like different things and how you can take that lesson and put it into the next thing and that just strengthens, I guess, the shot or the effort, I don't know, the shot that you put into the next thing, because your like toolkit is like strengthened by experience.
Yeah, nah, I love the toolkit analogy. That's one of my favorite analogies. So, yeah, no, 100%. Okay, so when you think about your show, when you're talking to somebody, obviously you do some prep work. But let's say you're trying to have a conversation with somebody. Maybe let's say you're talking to me, and this kid, man, this kid Eric, he has no idea how to talk to people. He really wants to have meaningful conversations, but he doesn't know what he's doing. So he's like, "Yo, man, this guy Mike has a show. This guy Mike is really great at connecting with people." So he goes to you and he says, "Hey, man, how do I create meaningful connections with people? Like, I'm talking to somebody. How do I make this a really good conversation? How do I think about this? How do I make this conversation as good as possible?"
So I think like you need to keep it simple, and I guess before you get to like point Z about actually having that conversation, you kind of have to learn more about yourself and the environments that you feel comfortable in. Well, maybe because we're all different, right? And we all, yeah, we're all different. So some people might prefer to be in a big Zoom call where the attention is not necessarily
On them.
on them, but they can. But let's say it was a 30-minute Zoom meeting of people that like knitting and they're sharing their experiences and stuff. Within that 30-minute conversation, you might actually only talk for a minute and a half, but in that minute and a half, what you said was really valuable and it really helped others in a group versus flip to a different environment where it's maybe like, I don't know, two people just having a conversation for 30 minutes and you're probably talking for roughly 50% of the conversation. You kind of might not feel comfortable in that type of setting. So I think it starts with learning which environments you feel comfortable in. And once, and that's always going to be ongoing because you have to be brave and jump into different environments to taste and to learn and decide, oh, I liked environment one, but environment two wasn't for me. Then you have to keep working on developing your interests and what, like earlier, and what makes you happy, because then once you know that or you're working towards that, and then you can maybe reach out to a couple of people or join a group with where the conversation is probably solely focused on the common interest. Because there's some people that can hold great conversations on stuff that they know what's about or they're interested in, but they hate starting up a new conversation with a stranger in the street, like randomly, where the possibilities of what you talk about could be endless. Does that kind of answer the question? I don't know.
I think it does. I think that's really helpful because I know for like you and me, I mean, I wouldn't say we're the kind of people to go around and talk to literally anybody,
Oh, that's
but I
me.
think for you and me, we've done enough of these and we enjoy people enough that we can kind of talk to anybody, even if we're not completely interested about whatever is talking about, we're interested in people.
Yes.
So it works out.
Yes, agreed.
And we're interested in learning, so it works out. But not everybody's like that. Some people, maybe they want to focus on a certain kind of conversation or they're looking for some kind of a certain kind of person, and that's okay too. And I think you're definitely right. Like knowing that or having that sort of perspective in mind is helpful when you're carrying conversation. Putting yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone there to find out if you like it or not. And I think when you put yourself out of your comfort zone, I feel like there are two kinds of like most of the, when you put yourself out of your comfort zone, right? You're gonna feel uncomfortable, but to me, there are two kinds of uncomfortable. There's the oh shit, I'm gonna die, uncomfortable, and then there's the this sucks, but it's also great at the same time. Like there are those two different kinds. And so if you get the first one, get the fuck out. Don't do that. You're not trying to die. But if you're not getting that oh shit, I'm gonna die feeling, then hey man, you might wanna maybe you can stay in. If you have a little courage, maybe you can stay in, have a little fun. You don't really have to do it all that much. Maybe that's not the thing that you want to do, that's fine. Or maybe that's not the thing the other person wants to do. Maybe if you want to do one thing and they're like, ah, that's not my thing, that's okay. You figure it out. You find a way to connect with that person. If you care enough about it, then you'll connect, right? Yeah, and I think keeping it simple is also very important. 'Cause I think you and I can we can probably share like tactics and like strategies for how we like think about things when we're talking to people, but the real important thing is just caring enough to connect. That's it. It's nice and simple. What about, oh, actually, no, before I keep going, you said one other, you said something else that I really liked very quickly in like a one line earlier, and you said trying to provide value. Like you're in that 30-minute call that you were talking about with a lot of people, and maybe you don't speak very much. But you speak for 1.5 minutes and you're just trying to provide value. And I think that's great because then it's no longer about, oh, how can I impress people? Or, oh, I'm trying to connect with these people. No, it's just, hey, you know what? I've been listening for a little while and I think I have something cool to share that's valuable. So I'm going to share it. And I think that's a good spark for connection. Because if someone says, yo man, this kid provided me some value, and you think, hey man, this other person's provided me some value, that's the spark of a relationship right there. That's all you need. I think connection kind of comes as a byproduct in some ways.
That's true. And connection can, like you said, can start super small because if you've spoken for a minute and a half and you haven't meant to, but like you've impacted someone in some way, wherever that may be, that actually helps form the start of that second conversation. Because everybody has a lot of first conversations in life, but at some point, hopefully, you're interested in, at least with a few people, moving beyond that first conversation.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. What would you say has been the most rewarding thing about having a lot of conversations with people? Through your show, out of your show, what would you say is the most rewarding thing?
Forget the stats and the audience growth and people's comments. It's kind of going back to what I was talking about earlier. I've always loved people. I've worked in every single job I've ever had. There's always been people facing. It's always dealing with people, both good and bad. But biggest reward for me. And it helps keep me positive and bubbly and happy. All these conversations, and it really helps highlight what my best strength is, and that's people and a conversation. And it also serves as a motivation, like especially not as what's the word I'm looking for? Not quite as significant as it was a few months ago, but like when COVID first happened, and like the majority of the world, and I was in between jobs. I was stuck at home like most of the time, and it's really easy to fall into a state of depression. But like having these two conversations each week with different people, like for me at least, like really helped me to keep going. You know, at least where I am, things are a little more relaxed, and now I'm employed again, now for a different job. So I'm always like around people. So I guess it serves as a motivation and also as something that keeps me optimistic and happy.
Would you consider yourself an extrovert or an introvert or an ambivert? Maybe you're both. What do you think?
100% extrovert.
Okay.
There's no question.
100%. All
Yeah,
right.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think being around, I mean, we talked about this earlier. Being around people has a tendency to make us feel, especially if the ones who make us feel uplifted. And I get it, right? Sometimes you're around those dicks, who maybe they're not having a great day, and so they're not gonna be the friendliest, then that's fine. You run into people like that because life happens, right?
That is
Sometimes
true.
your day is miserable or something, so you act like a dick. But even for like an introvert, I still think that maybe you don't need to pull a mic and go out and talk to a shit ton of people.
That's
or
valid.
me.
Everybody's different. That's another kind of theme of
Yeah.
the show. Everyone thrives in different environments with different people on small and large scale. Yeah.
Yeah, and you find the what works for you, but I think the point has to be that connection is it really does help. Like introvert, extrovert, I don't really care. I don't think it matters. And I'm coming from a perspective of I think I'm both. I probably lean a little bit more to the extrovert side, but I would probably say like I'm 60-40.
Okay.
Maybe even at more balance, I don't know. Maybe 70-30, I don't know. Last time I took a personality test, I was like really balanced, so that's what I'll say.
I'm not balanced, as I just said. Definitely the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, but I do think that you find those people. Not everybody needs to be your best friend.
No.
Being okay with that, I think, is important. Just having the when I think when the point becomes, hey, I just want to have a good time with this person. I just want to have a nice conversation here, or let's see if we can connect. You don't become so needy. You don't become so like, man, I need this to be like an awesome conversation. You're just like, no, I hope, let's see if we can make this a great conversation. Let's see if we can have a good time together. This doesn't need to be the best part of my day, but can it be a good part of my day? Can I be a good part of somebody else's day?
Yeah, just to jump in, that's definitely true for like both of us. Sometimes we've had those conversations that are on fire, but then other times it's, oh, I forgot I'm speaking to Eric at like 10 p.m. at night. Oh,
Yeah. That's just how it is sometimes. And so I think when you keep it simple, it just becomes it's it just makes it a lot easier because you're just like, hey man, let's see if we can have some good time with this person. And you get your handful of people who you're like, hey man, I'm really tight with these people. I was reading it, I don't know where, but I was like reading it somewhere recently. They're like, yeah, like your circle of people is kind of in a few layers, right? Your first layer is like, these are your people, the people. Like this is the people you'll go to. This is the people that you're like, man, I'm done. Like this ain't working out. I'm out, man. This ain't working. I'm quit. These are the people you're like, nah, these people got me. These are the people that
Right.
like it's just your core group of people. You're like, man, if I had nothing, I would want these people. And then you have a little bit of an outer layer who are very similar, but maybe they're more targeted. Maybe they're those are your good friends. Like those are the people you'll go to. Like when you and me talk a lot about podcasting, like it probably kind of falls into that kind of thought. Like, these are the people you'll talk to. These are the people you have a lot of trust for. Maybe you don't talk to super often, but you talk to pretty regularly. Maybe, maybe you're not going to call these certain people when you're on the floor crying your eyes out. maybe not, but these are like you're really tight with these people. You have a lot of respect for these people, and things like that. And then there's the third layer where you're like, hey man, we just trying to have a good time. Maybe I help them, they help me a little bit here and there, but we're just trying to have a good time. They're just like casual friends kind of thing. Being okay with, hey man, just kind of being like, you know what, I'm gonna have a good time with this person, and we'll see which one I want to put them in. And maybe they start out at the outer layer, and then they go to the inner layer, and then they go to the even inner layer. Maybe that's how it is.
I think, but we, at least for me, so, like so far, having people jump like over time through those different like layers, as we're calling them, is actually pretty rare. I can only think of really a couple of people, at least at this present, that have made that transition from getting to know them to like best friend like status. And I think of like so many people I've known in the past that there was so much like potential to that particular friendship, and then it never kind of materialized. So life is interesting, I think, is what I'm trying to say. And
Yeah.
everybody's journey is different.
Yeah, you never really know. You never really know. Which is why I think it's so interesting, like connection, because it's one of those things that you want, but you can't really. Like, there are only so many things you can do to create it yourself. A lot of it is like, as soon as you do like a few simple things, the rest of it is just, it's gonna happen or it's not gonna happen. Like, it's out of your hands kind of thing.
That's true.
As soon as you do a few simple things, like you put yourself in those situations, and then it just happens or it doesn't. Quite honestly, I'm not even sure where I want to take it, because connection is kind of the theme of this show at this point.
Oh, well, let's flip the script. Like you kind of heard my perspective on how I think you should like make connections based off my own like experience, etc. So like, how do you think people should go about making new connections?
I love when this happens. I always tell you this, whenever two podcast hosts come together, there's always a moment where the host role kind of switches in a conversation. It always happens.
Keeping with
gosh.
the
Yeah, no. If someone want okay, wait. So the question is, if someone wants to create more connection in their life,
yeah, or how do you go about like creating connection in your life, more from the perspective that you said earlier of you've got a little bit more balance than me on that introvert extrovert scale. To help some different people listening to this that are on different percentages of the scale.
Yeah, so some of the things that I do. I like to make it a point, and this is something I've started in quarantine, so I don't know if this will continue afterwards, but I like to make it a point to at least attempt to start a conversation with people. So I literally make it a point to sit down and like every day and try to start some conversations. That's literally me like finding an excuse to call somebody or text somebody. Just like how I think about sometimes that the podcast is an excuse for me to have a call with somebody. I like to find excuses to talk to people. And so my favorite, I love birthdays. Like if I have a birthday with like a friend that I haven't seen in a while, oh man, I'm a happy camper, dude. I'd love like I just use it as an excuse to give them a phone call. I did it probably like last week or something like that. I had a great conversation with an old friend of mine. It was phenomenal. And I think I try to make that a point. And sometimes you don't even find an excuse and you're just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna say send a text. Yo man, how you doing? You know, like something simple. And I don't need it to be anything. I don't need it to be like, hey man, this person's gonna go from I haven't talked to this person in ages to my best friend. Like, I don't need that to happen. But maybe we can have a good conversation. I don't know where this is gonna go, but hey, can we do something here? Can we have a nice conversation? I think making it a point every day to do that means that I always have a little bit of interaction. And that's cool. And I don't need, and I, to be honest, one of the things that I don't do super well is respond super quickly. I'm not great at that. And I think that's part of the reason that's because I do have that introverted part of me where I feel I want to stay focused and I want to do things and I don't want to interact with people. And it's not that I'm ignoring people or I don't like people or like I'm trying to be rude. It's none of that. It's just I also need my time. So that's why I may not respond super quickly to everybody. Unless it's usually I'll respond quicker on certain platforms than others, for example. But I think even an introvert can kind of take that idea and make it a point to reach out to people. And maybe you're not the quickest response. Or maybe instead of doing a prolonged text conversation, you get on the phone. A phone call can last anywhere from 2 minutes to fucking 2 hours, you know? Like, you just get it over with instead of prolonging it. Maybe that's your strategy. I don't know. But I think just making it a point to do that is a good strategy. You're aware of speed friends, Mike. That's one of the things that I've done through the past sort of summer. It's the Zoom call with a ton of people.
How did you get involved with that?
I saw it. Like I saw somebody else was doing it, so I was like, hey man, I'm gonna just join, I'm gonna have fun. And then I ended up becoming a host at some point, like coming on and helping out with the event. Like that's literally it happened. Like literally you and me is talking about like, yo man, I like this thing. What did I like? I liked one, connecting with people. Two, those based around a YouTube channel called Yes Theory. Boom, I got my two things that I like. I'm joining the group. Okay, I joined the group, I see something cool, I'm gonna join it. Done. Like this is literally exactly the advice you gave. I followed it just like I followed it with you, and I made some dope friendships there. I think putting yourself in those situations has to be the best advice I can give. And then going into it without expectation. Just going into it with like, hey, we hope maybe we can have a good conversation. And it might lead to a really cool friendship. It might lead to, hey, this person, maybe, you know, like for example, if you and me, for whatever reason, and I don't think and it's not gonna happen, but for whatever reason, let's say you and me don't talk for 2 years, but 2 years from today, I end up in Edmonton. We would probably still be cool enough for us to, for me to be like, yo, Mike, listen, I'm in Edmonton, let's hang out. Let's grab like lunch or something. We'd probably be cool enough. Maybe it's not. Wait, what?
Oh, I said I'm down. The lunch will be good at least.
Yeah. So like, you know, maybe it's like you're maybe they become best friends. Maybe they're the people that you'll hang out with one day. Maybe, you know, it doesn't really matter. Maybe it's like, hey man, we had a good conversation. You have a nice day. Have a good life. We'll talk maybe in next year. I don't know. I have relationships with people that are literally like we just wish each other happy fucking New Year. That's it.
Oh,
Maybe yeah, no, literally. It's like Happy New Year. If you're lucky, maybe a happy Thanksgiving. If you're lucky, maybe a happy birthday or a Merry Christmas. But for the most part, I can guarantee the Happy New Year one. And that's it. We don't have any other relationship. But it's
really?
good.
That's me too. There's a few. Oh, look at all these contacts. Does this number still work? Next.
Yeah, does this number still work? Those are the best. Those are the best. In fact, some people they, like we sometimes when they do a group chat thing, so they can text all of us at one time. I'll usually have like two or three numbers that I don't even have saved, and I'm like, I have no idea who this is, but they're wishing happy birthday to me. I'm gonna wish happy birthday to them, you know?
I don't like group chats for that sole reason of people just like spam it, and it's always going off and like, yeah.
It's true. It's true. Fortunately, that group chat is not active at all, except for Happy New Year. So we're good.
Nice.
But I think that would be my biggest advice. Like, just putting yourself in those situations, being willing to start a conversation, instead of waiting for it to get started, being proactive and going out and doing it, and then seeing where it goes. That's it.
Nice. And then continuing on the theme of like connections, how do you think COVID-19 has impacted our ability to make connections?
I don't think it's impacted our, well, okay, it's definitely, obviously it's impacted our ability to make physical connections that way. But in general, I don't think it's limited anybody, because some of my friends and I, we like to say, everyone in the world right now, Mike, is equidistant from each other. It's everybody in the world is equidistant. Everybody in the world is literally the distance from you and your chair to your screen. Like, everybody is this far away. So I don't think it's limited our ability at all. What I do think it is you have to be proactive about it and go out and seek it and put yourself in those opportunities. I think it's also, it's made more people more conscious about one, the value of connecting with people, because I think people start to realize, dang, like, I haven't seen people in a while, dude. And they're like, oh, what the heck? And they get, I think it brings that sense of gratitude to when you're actually able to be around people or you're actually able to have a nice conversation. And I think people are getting the awareness that you had when you started, when you were thinking of starting your show, you realize, like, hey, people are not connecting. And I think that's awesome. So I think the awareness is up. I think people, if they want to connect, just need to put themselves out there for it. What do you think about that question?
So I think COVID has created opportunities if you're interested in video streaming and reaching new people, because people's lives are, for the most part, have become a lot more simplified. There's less things going on for the most part in the daily lives, so the looking, some people at least are looking for new things to do. So there's that aspect. And then there's also the aspect of, I think hopefully COVID has like reset the majority of people, and hopefully they've asked themselves the question, what's really important in my life? What makes me happy? Like, I really do value the time that I spend with my family, right? And unfortunately, with the impact of COVID has been a lot of death. And I think that negative part has strengthened people's belief as cliche, but you don't really know when things are gonna end. You could be healthy one day, and by freak occurrence, like, you could be fighting for your life tomorrow. So I hope, and I know for me, is that new sense of appreciation for the small things, for family, for being able to breathe like each day and not contract like COVID or any other deadly illness, because there's people forget there's all these other illnesses beyond just COVID, right? That kill just as many people. So I guess there's a lot of almost opportunity with COVID, to with the theme being resetting, to rethink 10 years ago, my family were the biggest thing to me before technology rose up, and when traveling across the world was more expensive. So really reconnecting with people, with family, and also the community, your local community, the people that you live on your street. So I just moved house, and what's been really like refreshing is the majority of people that live on the street. It's still pretty new, so there's not that many people, but like the first people on the street were really excited to see who the next people were on the street, because they were the first people to move in, and there's like nobody around them and stuff. And then so it happens quite frequently. We say hi to each other on the street. We hold socially distanced like conversations from our like pieces of land, right? And this is the first place that I've ever lived where people are actually making that like effort, not stalking each other, but like when you're out at the same time by chances as somebody else, like stopping for not a 2 minute conversation, more like a 10 to 30 minute conversation, and really getting to know each other and knowing that you'd be there to help them if needed it in an emergency, right? So yeah, I think COVID, at least for me, has strengthened that local community like feel without becoming stalkish.
No, I think so. I hope that appreciation is being developed, and I hope it stays. I hope that staying so long staring at our screens these days, even if it's for connection, when this all ends, we're able to go back out, doesn't make us forget the fact that, hey, now we have people to be around. Because now we're so glued to our screens even more than we were before, because that's all we have, other than like our family or whoever we might live with. I hope that we, when we go back, we are able to actually engage with people. Also, when you're sharing about your neighbor, now it makes me feel like a dick whenever all I do is go outside, see my neighbor, and I just, hi. That's it.
A
So
challenge.
I think I
I
might have to
challenge you
make
in the
a.
next month to have a conversation with your neighbor.
I think I'm gonna have to starting conversations now. I think that might be something I need to do. I had one friend. This was like before COVID, but like I remember there were a few times. It was like right before like COVID like got serious and everything got shut down. So I was hanging out with this guy, and like this guy is like talks to people. Like this guy, I don't know. He just starts conversations like really easily. So I think we were like sitting down in like a local coffee shop. Literally, we were just gonna sit down and chat, hang out, whatever. And he literally just like he was about to go order some coffee. We were just getting settled in, so he was like laying his jacket and stuff on the table. And then he just like turned around and saw these like two or three guys or girls. I don't remember, like some people. And he's just like, yo guys, how you doing? You guys doing good? Like, have a nice day. And like, we just started like a few minute conversation.
That would be me too. I can do that.
I feel like that would be you. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's not really my cup of tea, but I might have to put myself out of my own comfort zone and do it.
I think for me that like knowing how to start a conversation with lots of different types of people of all different ages and interests is just practice, right? And
Agreed.
knowing just enough about a few different things. So like when I'm at work the other day, I know how to talk to people that are retired and they play golf every day, but then I also know how to talk to that young mother that's got her kids in the store and all the different extremes in between.
Yeah, it's experience. It really is.
And not everyone has to go to extreme lengths as I do, but really the point is the more you do something, the better you get at it. So like if you watch the Tea with Mike show episode one, like It's all over the place. It's on Instagram. It's comments scrolling through the thing. It's dark. It's and then over time you see that gradual, hopefully, transition.
No, I really, I do think that even like with the show, and I know you've seen this, like you get better at it. It may not even, I don't know if it like is drastically obvious, mainly because I'm too scared to go back and listen to episodes 2, 3, and 4, and 5. Oh. I'm way too scared. So I don't know if the difference is drastic, but in terms of my confidence, at least, in carrying out a conversation or something like that, like I feel way better about it today than I did like a year ago.
Nice, but everybody starts from like different points too, right? I know when I've listened to your podcast in the past, you have an actually like easy voice and like tone to listen to, whereas I at times can be a little bit more like scratchy. I don't have that. I was on a live stream the other day on Monday, and it was described as I have a unique voice that is not that standard like radio voice that some people like possess. But over time with like work and practice, and it gets better.
Yeah. You know, yeah, you figure things out. You get better at it over time. And I think, like, there, it's interesting because, like, sometimes people might ask, like, you or me or anybody, like, hey, what are your strategies? Like, what are your tips for how do you do this? And the best advice I think that we're kind of alluding to, me and Mike here, is if you're trying to connect or have a good conversation, just fucking start it. I think that's our advice here. Like, just fucking start it. We can share with you how we start conversations. We can share with you how we think about it. We can share with you some of the questions that we might ask. Maybe as soon as me and Mike end this recording, I'm going to ask him about some of the questions he uses. I don't know. But the point is, just start the dang thing, damn it.
And go at your own pace.
Mm-hmm. Let me end off with this.
Okay.
You may have told me this, but I don't really remember it. Why did you move from England to Canada?
I moved from England to Canada because of family circumstances and my dad getting a different job in the country of Canada. In its simplest sense.
That's pretty cool. That's so great.
Scary at the time.
You were 17, so that means you're like in your like grade 12.
Well, it's different than North American school systems and European.
Okay, so how did that work coming from the UK school system? Okay.
So in England, it's at least when I was in school, because they're always changing the rules. Compulsory education was up until you were 16. Okay. So that's in England, that's year 10. So you complete year, it's what's called GCSE qualifications. Then at the end of year 10, you then have a choice. You can do 2 more years of school and do something called A-levels. So for years 11 and 12, you need to do A-levels in order to go to university, which is obviously standard pretty much around the world. Or you could choose to leave school at 16 and then go off and, I don't know, start your own business if you're entrepreneurial, or do an apprenticeship more like in the lines of like construction, plumbing, and all those types of the trades, basically. Yes, and so I finished my GCSEs, year 10 and 11, sorry. And then I started year 12 because I started doing my A-levels with the thought of going to university, which I'm really glad didn't plan out that way, because like I have no idea what I would have taken. So I started year 12 taking English literature, drama, and something else that I can't remember at this point in time. Shows how important it was to me. And then so I've literally done like They call them terms over in England, not semesters. And they have 3 terms. I've literally just completed the first term from September to Christmas. And then during that time was when I learned that I was moving to Canada, and this 3 months of education doesn't mean anything. So then I went from a really good student, like this is pretty bad, but this is about telling stories, so I'll share it. So I went from really caring about my subjects and taking it super seriously to just basically like scraping by because it was going to get scratched for the record. And I was just like playing table tennis every single day, like. And then
I
I
love
moved
that.
to Canada, and then almost because it's a different schooling system, I had to complete like a semester of grade 12. And on record, they had no idea how to translate English qualifications and all the stuff that I'd done and the grades that I got into a Canadian schooling system. So I remember sitting in the principal's office and she was like, how good were you at phys ed, like PE? I was like, okay, all right, so we'll give you this percentage. Literally, it's almost made up on the spot, no joke. Oh, you still need to do social studies, English 30, and to meet the high school requirements. And this is so it was just weird because I got like top grades in English and English literature in England, where it's all about speaking and listening. It's about Shakespeare and stuff, understanding poetry, how to analyze text, and then also how to write essays. Then you come over here and it's like multiple choice tests really don't exist in England, in at least when I was in school for English. So I was used to it. I didn't do very well in English over here because I don't understand how you're basing kind of all of a good portion of your grading system on guessing letters on a sheet, basically. And if you ask people, what skills did you take from, I guess, English over here, none of them would be able to tell you, right? You know what I mean?
That's I'm glad I ended with that actually. I like
I was on a
that.
rant. I could feel
No,
it.
I like it. That's great. Cough, cough, education system of North America.
And then so then I did what I had to do to complete grade 12. It was just a weird time to like transition.
Yeah. Especially that they're literally like, how are you? You did good? Okay, B. You good in math? Oh no? Okay, see. That's wow.
But to be fair, that it's if you think of the amount of times that it's ever gonna happen, it's not that high.
Yeah, no, of course, of course.
For all I know, I didn't even ask the question. I could have been the first person to move from England to Canada at that age in that school's entire history, which is probably actually quite true.
Yeah, I mean that wouldn't surprise. Yeah.
Yeah, so
So
I did
ending
what I had
off.
to do.
Yeah, exactly. Do what you had to do. Ending off the episode, what would be the sort of the final message that you would want to say to the audience who's listened to this and in the hopes of hopefully in the hopes of empowering them to live a more conscious, meaningful, authentic life?
Cool. And number one, keep it simple. Number two, on the whole theme of empowerment and connections, do something that makes you happy. And finally, number three, don't worry about others, as we've established, at least in this, or at least I think we've established in this episode, everybody's human, everybody's different and has different experiences. And sit at different ends of the extrovert introvert scale and all the other scales out there. And so my third and final piece of advice would be go at your own pace.
I like that you mentioned that. Really, just want to touch on that really quickly. Like, on the topic of everybody being different, don't be judgmental. That's really what it comes down to. Like, just be a little bit more tolerant or open-minded or accepting of people. You don't have, like, even if you don't like somebody and what they're saying, you don't have to be best friends with them, but can you at least be damn respectful? You know what I mean? Can you at least treat them like a decent human being? Maybe you don't have to be their best friend or anything like that, but.
Yeah, it happens to me like every single day when I'm working in my job. We have the regular customers that are very polite, very pleasant, optimistic in life. And then on the flip end of the scale, we sometimes have people that come in that don't want to talk, like they want to rant about COVID, they're very negative. So like I made the effort not to even like I shorten my interactions whilst maintaining good customer service, and like to them, keep it short, simple, send them on the way, and like if they and just move to the next thing. Like, it's really common in my job for people to complain about the price or this and that, and at the end of the day, I'm not the person in control of making those decisions. I just hear them out. I'm sorry that you feel that this way. Oh, maybe I could pass it on to a manager. But then, as soon as they've walked out the door, I've already moved on to the next interaction, which could be the most positive interaction I have in that day. So always taking it in the moment, but knowing that everyone is living different lives, and you'll never truly understand why they acted in the way that they did. So just forget about it and move on to the next morning. Remember the positive interactions and filter out all the other interactions.
Ending it on a very nice note there. I like it, Mike. Thank
Thanks, man.
you for coming on the show, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
We'll go to the outro, listeners.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening through episode 43 of the Eric Chow Empowers podcast. I hope you enjoyed this conversation I had with my good friend Mike and just got value out of hearing his perspective on humanity and connection. I think that this pandemic has helped a lot of us realize how valuable it is, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert or something in between like me. I do think that having those meaningful relationships, having those interactions with people can be an enjoyable experience. You may not need to be the person who's the life of the party, who talks to everybody they see. But I hope you can find a little bit of joy in putting yourself out there a little further, maybe, than what you're comfortable with and interacting with people, even the smallest things. These days, we don't get to interact with people too often in person, but maybe wave at somebody. I don't know. Put yourself out there. There are a lot of different places you can go online to interact with more and more people. Use social media. Technology is a tool. Just as a hammer can be used to build or to break down, technology can be used to connect or to distract. Hope you guys are all doing well. Hope you guys got value out of hearing this perspective. And I hope you'll go out there and connect. Until I see you next time in the next episode, my friends, have a fantastic rest of the day.